Welcome to Pyconomy. Here we cover everything from finance, economy, and how it affects you. Please welcome your host, Kyle Talks.
Thank you. You are so kind. Welcome everyone back to Pyconomy, where we talk about everything from finance, economy, and how it affects you. It's so good to be talking to you guys. We took a little week hiatus. Work was crazy. Crazy important things happening in life, but we will update you guys on that on the Kyle Talks portion. But so glad to have you in the Kyle Talks studio today. Welcome, where the LaCroix and White Claw flow like honey. Please sit down. My server will help you. Anything like me, personally, I like pamplemousse, but we have everything. So good to have you in the studio today. Give yourself a pat on the back, because you care about finances, the economy, and we make it really easy to understand. I won't give you terms like, well, inflation data, the beta point of the country is approximately 96 GDP, which means we're heading to a recession. If you learn like that, go you. I am so happy for you. I do not learn like that, and I think majority of people just don't want to sit through that. That makes me too. So we break it down into an easily digestible way. What does that mean real enough to you? And how can you prepare or counteract with your own finances? So a little bit back me, I am Kyle from the Kyle Talks. I know you're fangirling. It's okay. I get it. I'm being totally serious. But the finance and economy, excuse me, is all focused on finance and economy, because a lot of us grew up in homes where money was a no-no talk or stressful talk. That's the home I grew up in too. Now, our parents or our grown-ups taking care of us do the best they can, but they also come from an era where it was kind of a no-no talk about money. And let's change that. Let's talk about our finances. Let's be better. Finances doesn't have to be some secret thing where like 12 people know. Now, I'm not saying you go and tell everyone your business financially, but I am saying we should talk about it more, and it should not be weird, and it shouldn't be stressful. I'm doing my part, and you can join me in that as well. I do run the main show, Kyle Talks, that happens every Wednesday, and this is my side project that I personally just like doing and have fun with, because I went to school for business administration and finance, so this is a passion of mine to talk about finances with you guys. With that, let's jump right into it. Let's waste no time. You guys saw the headlines today. Strikes, you saw my tweet. I put out an Instagram post, which I've already have one special individual. You know who you are. Love you. And you already know where this is going. So let's jump right into the first article. Before we jump into our first article, I want to make it very clear. I do not have the answers to everything. Don't take my word as law. I'm still young in my life, figuring out what I'm going to do as far as professionally and with this podcast. I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the insight, but I do have some. So please take everything I say with a grain of salt. And all the links, the articles that we will talk about today are in the show notes. So please make sure to go over there, read them for yourself, come to your own conclusions, listen to some people that are also in this role at a higher level position than me, and make sure you're involved. Do not take my word for law. I don't know everything, and I wouldn't want to listen to a podcast with a guy who claimed unless his name was Jesus. You know what I'm saying? So let's leave it at that. With the first article, we're going to get spicy. UAW, which you didn't know, is the United Auto Workers Union. And as you know, there's lots of strikes going on, started by the Writers Guild, and now that has seeped into the automotive. I know we kind of talked about it last week, but things are getting better, I think, for us, for the regular everyday people. So let's jump into it. UAW targets 38 facilities at General Motors, that's hard to say for some reason, and Stellantis for expanded strikes, skips Ford. Again, the link to this article is in the show notes below. Please make sure you read it in its entirety. I'm only skim over it. The UAW, which is the United Auto Workers, is expanding strikes to 38 parts and distribution locations across 20 states for General Motors and Stellantis, UAW President Sean Fain said Friday morning. The union will not initiate additional strikes at Ford Motor, as the company has proven it's serious about reaching a deal. The strikes at GM and Stellantis part suppliers will add roughly 5.6K auto workers, including roughly 3,500 employees at GMW, to the UAW's ongoing strikes at Detroit. So here's the law. I know we kind of jumped into it. I have some insights to this. So let's say this. I put out a tweet and it's factual. So it used to be a labor stockholder market in the 50s and 60s. And surprise, surprise, that's actually factually one of the most, what's the word I'm looking for here? That's scientifically. It is actually one of the most profitable eras that we have seen, at least in Western culture, America. Since then, there has been kind of a trend towards shareholders and shareholder value. The catch-22 is anyone can become a shareholder value, but it also is not realistic for people who are laborers. So the market went from a 50-50 split as far as profit sharing. Now, let me be very clear on my definition of profit sharing. I do not mean a laborer becoming an owner. I actually disagree with that entirely. But what I mean by profit sharing is if your company, let's talk about Amazon, for example, has a 30% profit margin rate, which is roughly $3 billion, you can spare to give your employees, your laborers, more money in either a form of a one-time bonus or increased wages. On top of that, Ford, their CEO last year alone has had a 40% increase in his salary expectations and what he brings home, which is a lot of money. Imagine getting a 50% pay increase permanently. That's what this is. So yes, especially automakers, they are used and abused. You can go look. I actually was in an old auto town in Indiana. They're redoing it and, you know, and it looks fantastic, actually. Like, I forgot the name of it, but it looks fantastic. It really looks good. But you can see the effects of these old auto facilities and then moving out, and it completely was an area bankrupt. And that's what happened to many places across the country, and that's what will continue to happen if these strikes happen and you won't have a car anymore. People want fair wages, and I think that's completely fair to ask for. These writer strikes, the actor strikes, there aren't your Tom Cruise's asking for a $50 million increase. They're everyday people who work as background artists, who work as voice actors, who work as just artists for animations, and they make a regular wage like me and you, and they're trying to support their families like me and you. I think it's entirely reasonable for both Writers Guild, SAG-AFTRA, and the UAW now to come together and demand better wages. So the demands of the UAW are a 40% pay increase, and where they get that number is from Ford themselves giving their CEO a 40% pay increase and a 32-hour work week. I think that's entirely reasonable. People at the top, I have talked to some great individuals at both the startup level and a corporate level. Startup level people, they work 100 hours a week. That is literally not an exaggeration. Once you get higher, depending on what you do or don't do, that work week vanishes significantly while the laborers are still out there working 40 plus hours a week with, mandatory overtime. With that, I think it's completely reasonable for the UAW to ask for a 40% increase. Let's jump in more into the article because I'm going to get on a tangent. The UAW is suspending strikes at 38 parts and distribution centers across 20 states. The union will not initiate additional strike at Ford Motor as the company has proven it's serious about reaching a deal. We still have serious issues to work through. Quote, we still have serious issues to work through, but we don't want to recognize, but we do want to recognize that Ford is showing that they're serious about a deal and they're serious about their workers. W. Ford said, the outspoken union leader, end quote. Quote, at GM Stellantis, it's a different story, end quote. Fain said the union and Ford have made progress on issues including limiting some wage tires, reinstating cost of living adjustments, and an improved profit sharing formula. We're going to come back to that. He also said that the union won the right to strike over plant closures during the term of the deal, as well as immediate conversion of temporary or supplemental workers, those with at least 90 days of employment upon ratification. So there's a few things that Ford is serious. They're coming to the table and wanting to do a 20% deal over a 20% pay increase over a certain amount of time, eventually get, I think, I don't have the website. No, don't want to Google and like in the middle of me talking to you guys, but I believe it's 20% over 3 years with 40% over 5 years. that is maybe a longer time. But for a lot of these people, they are lifelong auto workers. So this is a huge W. Now, as far as I'm aware, no deals have been closed yet. So that has just been a talk brought to the table. And I believe the union is chatting with Ford about what that may look like in the future. But I think that's a huge W. I think, and it's now, so there's the article. The link is down below. And I already shared a lot of my thoughts. And I'm going to finish with this thought because I can talk about this a long time. And I'm sure I have, my DMs are filled with people who are like, think I'm a liberal or Nazi, whatever, right? It doesn't even have to be about that. Money's money. Don't make it weird. We talk about that all the time on this podcast. Red is red. Blue is blue. Money, don't make it weird. With that, here's what I want to tell you guys. As far as money goes, we're looking at this from a purely monetary value. If record companies like Apple, Amazon have a 15% plus profit the past 5 years, I encourage you to look that number up. And disprove me or approve or affirm me, whatever way, please look that up. They can afford to pay their people $25 an hour. Now, there's different ways to go about it. You can either do a one-time payment. If it's like Christmas and you have really good sales or really good management of the company, a one-time payment bonus might be in the works for a good amount. I think that's fair. But if your company is consistently doing good for a year, I think you can. The company can afford to pay its workers more. It's BS why they think they don't. The economy's going to go terrible. It's going to get ruined. People are going to get destroyed. No, it's not. CEOs and large executive management have been seeing 25 plus percent increase in their salary expectations in the past 10 years alone. A quarter in the past 10 years. And people who work at Target get 10 cents for doing really good. I worked at Target and got the best rating possible. The best rating possible. I was a good worker at Target. Not to gas me up, but I want to give you an example. The best rating you can get at Target, I want you to guess how much my raise was. 42 cents for being the most productive and best rated employee. 42 cents. But if we give executive managers 40%, it's fine. The economy will adjust. That's a load of hoopla. I want to also make it very clear, I'm not advocating for laborers to become owners. I think that is a twisted vision of what people in profit sharing are trying to do. I think if you're a laborer, you have no interest in being an owner. Maybe you do, but if you've done it for a decade plus, you probably have no interest in being an owner, but you would like to get paid for your high value of skills. Everyone would, especially those executive managers who get 25% plus. So with that said, I rest my case on this. The strikes are hard, both for writers. I've talked to writers. I've talked to screenwriters. I've talked to game writers who are potentially looking at the strike. I haven't talked to any auto workers. So please, if that's you, let me know. I'd love to have you on the podcast to talk about it. Nurses as well. Nurses are also facing a health shortage. So you know of a nurse or anything like that, please get them in contact with me. Would love to have them on the podcast to talk about it. But here's the thing. Companies, and this is what I'll rest my case on. Companies have seen record-breaking profits. In the 70s, we switched over to the shareholder value over the laborers. I think it's time we can go back and look at those laborers and show them love. They don't want to be owners. They want to be paid accordingly to the work. And I think that's reasonable. And I think it's the humane thing to do. Let's jump into our next topic. So that was a little, I knew I was going to get on a little bit of a rant with that one. I think it's reasonable. The next topic we have, the Federal Reserve leaves rates unchanged. You guys really like the federal stuff when I talk about it and break it down. So here it is. Here's how it impacts you. If you have credit card debt, you're still looking bad. Next article. Okay. I'm just being serious, but let's jump to more of the article. So again, link to this article is down below in the show notes. Please read it in its entirety by yourself. The Federal Reserve left interest rates unchanged at the end of its two-day policy meeting. So for the uninitiated, let me give you just a quick crash course into how money works in America. If you're standing up, you want to get sit down. Money's not created when you print. Money's created when you take out a loan to get a car. See what I did there? See how I connected? If you take out a loan to get a car, student loan, a house, your credit cards to buy Chick-fil-A, things like that. That's where money's created because before, let's use me for an example. Before I went to school, I didn't have 40, I believe it was something like, I didn't have 40K. So I went and got student loans for it to pay for it. I am a contributing member of the American Finances because I put 40K in the system. Go Kyle. And I get rewarded with high interest rates. Yay. That's how money works. So knowing that's how money works, the Fed, the money managers of America, that to encourage spending, to encourage you to buy more Chick-fil-A or disencourage you from buying Chick-fil-A, what they'll do is they'll control interest rates. So they'll make money more expensive, more cheap. Well, Kyle, how do they do that? Fantastic question. I can tell you're thinking. They do it by controlling the interest rates. So when you spend $15 for Chick-fil-A and that's left as interest on your credit card, you actually incur an interest charge over time. Now, based on the credit card's policies, this is a very overgeneralization, but the point is still true. That is depending on the credit cards, but depending on what the Fed puts interest rates at, of course, with your credit score and stuff too, that's also a factor. But let's just say that's not for now. If the Fed increased rates, that interest rate for your $15 Chick-fil-A is going to be more in 2 months. But if they decrease the interest rates, you might pay $16 over 2 months for a $15 meal. Again, that's very an overgeneralization. And there's lots of factors specific to our credit cards, but that's generally how it works. So with that, they left it unchanged. They didn't increase or decrease interest charges, which may be a bad thing for us. Let's talk about more. The central bank has raised its benchmark borrowing rate 11 times. So 11 times since March 22, they have increased the rates. The fastest pace of tightening since the early 1980s. They don't want you to spend your money. For consumers, this is important for us. It won't get any less expensive to carry credit card debt. Oh, didn't we just talk about that? That's interesting. Buy a house, purchase a car, or tap into home equity. The article continues, the Federal Reserve, the money managers of America, they left its target federal funds rate unchanged Wednesday, but not signaled an end to its aggressive rate hiking. So there could be more interest hikes in the futures. For households, so if you own a house, this applies to you, that offers little relief from sky-high borrowing costs, which have increased about 15%+, depending on what state you're in. Although Fed officials have raised rates 11 times in a year and a half, pushing the key interest target range of 5.5% to 5.5%, the highest level in more than 22 years. Quote, I'm worried for the consumer, end quote, said Thomas Phillipson, who's the University of Chicago economist. Yeah, Thomas, I'm with you. People are hit on both fronts, lower real wages and higher rates on their credit card debt. Since wage growth for many Americans hasn't been able to keep pace with higher prices, we just talked about that in the first article. Those households are getting squeezed and are going into debt just when borrowing rates are spiking. And this is an important number. Real average hourly earnings fell 0.5% in August, while borrowers, people like you and me with student loans, car loans, etc., are paying more on credit cards, student loans, and other types of debts. This article goes a lot deeper into certain specifics. I would encourage you to read it. But generally, for the point of this episode, here's what we can take out from this. Things are looking weird as far as financially. Things are on the up and up, yes, for sure. News changes very fast. This fake thing that we created called money has changed very quickly. Even though we're striking for more money, you can see why that is. With rates unchanged, people in student loans that are re-kicking up in October, by the way, and I'm one of those people who's going to start making payments in October. These student loans, these interest rates are building, and the Fed isn't helping that at all. By them not wanting us to spend money on credit cards, they're actually increasing our debt in other places. So that sounds scary. Sure. Yes. It's not the end of the world, though. Like, you're breathing. You're going to be okay. Here's what we can do for everyday people like you and me. It was really garner down on credit card spending. If you already have a balance in your credit card, here's a rule of thumb I do that was taught to me by a mentor. Everyone has different situations, but you'd want to pay at least 10% over what that monthly charge is. So for example, let's say your monthly credit card, your monthly credit card statement is $50, right? To help kind of get ahead, you'd want to pay an extra 10% on that. So instead of $50 payment, you'd make a $55 payment for that month. That way you can get ahead of higher interest rates and either match the rate of interest going up, or you can actually make a dent into it even with interest coming in. So it's a good rule of thumb to kind of go by. Make a 10. Now, of course, if that number is high, that could be different for everyone, but I would definitely recommend looking what your interest rates are. A lot of people just open a credit card. A lot of schools encourage students to go and get crazy in debt and not tell them, hey, if you bought a house with this, you'd actually make more money in the long term. That's a whole different FICONOMY episode that I have my whole spiel about. But here's what you can do. Be more conscious with your credit card spending. If you were going to buy things, just buy it in cash. Be aware if you're doing that. If you're buying cash, you don't have to worry about interest rates. This whole conversation wouldn't apply to you if you did. So that is a practical way to get past this and start getting ahead a little bit. Now, with that, we just talked about how the government is going within themselves. We're going to keep rates here for now, but in the future, they might change. There's a lot of dispute amongst Republicans and Democrats in the House about what that looks like. In our next article, we're talking about a government shutdown. Link to this article is in the show notes, so please check it out and read it for yourself. I encourage you. With that said, the Fed, which is the money managers of America, again, just want to make sure, the Fed would be flying blind. I don't want to hear flying blind more talk about my finances on interest rate decisions after a government shutdown. A looming government shutdown could prevent the Federal Reserve from raising rates in November. Policymakers would have only limited access to inflation data with departments shut down that produce these key reports that go into should we raise it or not. If the impasse lasts longer than a month, quote, we think the prudent course of action would be for the Fed to stay on hold in November, end quote, Bank of America said. Now, I also want to be very clear. There is a shot of a government shutdown. This is not like end of the world stuff. If you're age 5, you've seen a government shutdown, and your life is, you're still living, right? You're still breathing, so it's okay. Just keep in mind, a government shutdown could be on the table, and we could see the same effects from inflation and interest rates reports next month if that government shut down due to the Fed not having access to these tools, which I think personally is a little hoopla. Why can't you just access these important economic data points even in the midst of a government shutdown? Because cops are still working, firefighters are still working, public service heroes are still working. So why can't we get important inflation data for America? But I rest my case. A looming government shutdown could prevent the Federal Reserve from raising rates in November, but not for the reason you might think, according to Bank of America. Not only would the shutdown potentially slow down the economy, which we've talked about the ramifications of that, and make a rate hike a wrong move, but for a long impasse, the government shutdown would mean that central bank policymakers have only limited access to inflation data, the investment bank noted. That's because unfunded agencies such as the Departments of Labor and Commerce wouldn't be producing key data reports on these price trends. So the everyday people that work for the governments, the feds, they would not be getting paid. They wouldn't be in the office and they can't produce these key reports. Why can't people at the high level do it? I don't know. That's another good conversation. If the shutdown lasts for a month or more, the Fed would essentially be flying blind at its November meeting, having learned very little about economic activity and price pressure since the September meeting. The Fed relies closely on reports from the Labor and Commerce to gauge inflation data, and then from there decide what the next steps for interest rates are at for that month. While they aren't the only inflation gauge central bank officials use, not having them around in November would complicate the rate decision. To be sure, the markets thinks the Fed is done already anyway, in guessing that next month we will not see a rate hike. There's a little bit more, so I would definitely recommend looking into that more yourself, please. I encourage you. But with that in mind, what do we take away from that? What's something we can take away from that and be aware of as we go forward?
we might not see rate hikes again next year, which is a good and bad thing. Our debt isn't going to be getting any more expensive, which is a good thing. But in that mind, it's not getting any cheaper as well. So we might have to have the same mindset with the pending government shutdown coming up. We do have an election coming up as well. Keep that in mind. We're definitely going to cover that on this podcast. I'm talking with Rio, my editor, if you guys didn't know, and my second man for the pod. I'm be talking with him really what that looks like. How could we cover that on the podcast from a financial circumstance and not getting too crazy about it? But that's in the talks. We're talking about what that looks like and how to handle that. But with that in mind, be aware there's a lot of things that are going to be happening, especially in America, the next year and a half. For the election and after the election, of what that looks like and how to manage that, and really getting down to what that means for our money. So be aware of that. Be prudent. I want to leave you with this. The government is not going to save you. I'm going to say that one more time. No matter what your beliefs are, who you do or do not believe in, the government's not going to come save you. They're not going to come give you a handout. And if they did, you wouldn't want them to. Let's look at Section 8 housing. Unfortunately, that's terrible. You don't want the government handing out. You do not want them handing out favors. You don't want that. And why I say this is this. And why I say that is for this reason. You look at me. I am the captain now. That's you. I know that's a meme, but that's you. You are in control of your own ship. You are in control of your own finances. Do not rely on the government to come help you with inflation, anything like that, because I promise you it will never come. If it does, you're going to regret it, because we have seen multiple times throughout history where that is a regrettable fact of the government coming in and helping regular everyday people like you and me. So to cover, we talked about the auto strikes, which is a huge W. People deserve to get paid proper wage, not become owners. That's not the conversation. You shouldn't hand over on the silver plate the entire company because they wouldn't know how to handle it. Let's just be honest. With that said, people deserve their wages for being proficient in a skill, especially if the company hands out 40% to CEOs and 25%+ salaries to executive managers. I think laborers are due their wages. On top of that, we talked about the Fed not increasing interest rates, which is a plus and minus. And with the potential government shutdown, election, and things going on in the future, we may have a little bit of an unwavering finance economy system, but you are the captain of that at the end of the day. If this was valuable to you at all, please go ahead and share this podcast and tag at Kyle the Horton on Instagram, Twitter, or Thread, anything like that. I will love you forever if you go ahead and post those things there. Share with a friend. Leave a review on the podcast. 5 stars or 1 star if you loved it or hated. If you made it this far, you definitely don't hate it. And with that said, please, if you want to support the show, support me in getting this podcast to grow, inviting more people to the conversation, and diving deeper on topics like this. My link to the Patreon is in the show notes down below. You can go from there. I love you guys. Thank you so much for the love. We're in it together, and you are more loved than you know. I'll see you next time on Kyle Talks. Peace.